Hello, and welcome to today's broadcast for Sunday, the 29th of November. We are doing a Christmas presentation to the church on the 13th of December. So if you haven't got your videos in or your pictures in, then do let the church office know so that we can include you in it, because it is supposed to be by the children to everybody, and we are going to be doing it virtually. But I should have got in touch with your parents by now. If I haven't, or if they haven't responded by doing the video or picture, please let them know that they need to get their skates on, because very soon I won't be able to accept any more videos. But this broadcast is for children that are in the group Ignite, which is from reception class all the way up to year six. So if you're in that year age bracket, then I hope you enjoy listening to this. So today we have a little game, again, as usual. And I am thinking of a bird. That is not your first clue. Your first clue is this is one of the smallest birds that we have. They measure from 7 centimeters to 13 centimeters generally, but the smallest variety of this bird is 5 centimeters long. So that's for 5 points. If you get it straight away now, you get 5 points. For 4 points, this variety of birds has types called ruby, bee, and violet. Does that help? I wonder. This bird, for 3 points, has got a long beak to get at the nectar in flowers. And for 2 points, this is the only bird that can fly backwards. Does that help? How well do you know your birds? And for 1 point, if you haven't guessed it by now, the name of this bird is a compound word, which means there are two separate words that join together to make a bigger word. So, how did you get on? Did you guess that I was thinking of a hummingbird? If you did, then well done. It is the smallest bird. It's really tiny, some of the species. And it's the only one that can fly backwards. Really clever little bird. Okay, so today we're looking at two very short parables. And it's, again, taking stuff from Swap Meet Dave, which is a website where I've been getting some of this stories from. And today's two parables are from the book of Luke, chapter 15. They follow each other. So it was Jesus giving a lot of parables at that time to different people. And the crowd he was talking to included Pharisees and Sadducees. If you don't know who these people are, they were the people who used to teach in the synagogue and give lessons to people and interpret the scriptures so that people would understand them better. But sometimes they would abuse their power and they would make people keep really difficult rules, and they would make people sort of bow to them, and they would make sure they got special places at feasts, and they would sort of say, we're very, very important people, so we matter more than all the other people. And this was something that Jesus really didn't get along with. And you know, when Jesus came along and he was preaching about that the kingdom of God is for everyone, they didn't really agree with this, because they were telling people that in the kingdom of God, there are some people that are more important than others, and these sort of ideas, which Jesus was not teaching. So they didn't really like Jesus. And Sadducees were people who also taught about the Bible and what the scriptures said, and they were And sometimes they would make other people miserable, which is why it's quite funny that they're called Sadducees, because they're a bit sad, you see. So I am recommending a song this week. And it's called I Want to Be a Sheep, but it sort of goes, I want to be a sheep. So if you're looking for it on YouTube, you should be able to find it. I wanna, which is WANNA, I want to be a sheep. And it's got a lovely little animation of Jesus leading some sheep, because one of our parables is about sheep. So the first one, which is the lost sheep, is from Luke chapter 15, verse 3 to verse 7. It says, then Jesus told them this story. If any of you had 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you are so happy that you will put it on your shoulder and carry it home. Then you will call in your friends and neighbors and say, come, let's celebrate. I found my lost sheep. Jesus said, in the same way, there is more happiness in heaven because of one sinner who turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to. Right, so in this parable, Jesus is talking about the sheep as people that are in church. They believe in God. They've given their lives to God. But then there's one sheep that is still on the outside. Either this person was going to church, was believing in God, and then somewhere along the way, their ideas just changed and they started doing wrong things and they started sinning. But then the other 99 were righteous. Being righteous means that you are right with God. You're keeping all the laws and all the regulations that Jesus, that the part of the Ten Commandments, you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're giving to other people, and you're just being very good, really. And you're respecting your parents, and, you know, you're reading your Bible, you're being good, you're coming to church, so you are not doing anything wrong. And, you know, you're treating other people nicely, so you're being righteous. Being righteous means you're right with God. It doesn't mean that you don't do things wrong, but when you do things wrong, you immediately ask God to forgive you and you repent, which means you turn away from doing bad things and you start doing right things. Repenting is like turning your life completely. So it's like going in one direction, which is the wrong way. So it might be going to the left. And then when you realize that you're going in the wrong direction and you're doing the wrong things, you turn around and you start going towards the right. So that is the difference. When you're repenting, you are changing your actions completely from doing bad or wrong things to being right with God and doing right things. So these 99 people are people that are in the church, as I said, and they stay with Christ and they don't need to repent. So they are being really, really good. But the other sheep, the one little person, is the one who either did not even attend church to start off with, or he was a Christian before and then he made some mistakes and he started choosing the wrong things to do. He started sinning and he started doing bad things and not treating people nicely. Or it might be just one thing that this person chose to do, and that person needs to realize that they are doing the wrong thing. So in the story, this lost sheep, Jesus says God will leave the righteous people, and it is more important for him to find that one that is lost. And this gives us the idea that Jesus was really, really focused on one. He's very, very concerned about the one, the individual person, which means that he knows each person. I mean, imagine having 99 sheep. And then you lose one. You might just think, oh, I can't be bothered. I will just leave those. At least I've got 99. The one that's got lost, you know, where is he? Why did he get lost? Why did he choose to go the wrong way? You know, that's his own fault. But Jesus is very concerned about one person, which tells us that Jesus is very concerned about each one of us as an individual. If we ever step out of line, or we stop coming to church, or we start doing the wrong thing, and we start making wrong choices and wrong decisions, Jesus will go out of his way to look for us. He will go out of his way to bring us back into the fold, back into the flock of sheep. He wants us to be back. And look at what happens when he does get us back. The Bible says that he will rejoice over that one sheep and call his friends and throw a party and say, come and celebrate with me because I have found the one that was lost. That means God really cares about people, not just the people that are coming to church and hearing his word, but he cares about the people that are out there. The other parables that we've had about sheep have been telling us about how God will separate the sheep from the goat. The goats, when we had that one where a farmer had a crop of land, and then the enemy came in the night and planted bad seeds in, and then he said, leave the bad seeds to grow with the good, and then once they're grown and it's time for harvest, then we'll be easily able to separate the same. And that is what he said would happen when Jesus comes back. He will separate the good people from the bad people. That was about 4 weeks ago when we were talking about that. So do look back if you didn't hear that message, because it was talking about that in the whole world, there are good people and there are bad people. And some of the good people, we can't really tell who they are. And some of the bad people, we can't really tell who they are. So it is not our business to decide who the good sheep are and who the goats are, because God is just going to let us all grow up together. And then when it's the day of judgment, then the angels that know better and can see deep into people's hearts will be able to separate the good people. So that was like a whole world of people. But these are people that could either be in church or one of this lost sheep has stepped out of the church. So like, you know how you might grow up as a child in church and then you might make a mistake at some stage in your life, maybe when you're a teenager, and you turn against God and you say, you know what, I don't really understand God. I don't really believe in God. So I'm not really going to follow God, to follow Jesus anymore. I'm not going to come to church. But then later on, you realize the mistake you've made and you realize what a difference Jesus makes in your life. And he calls you back. And then this is the point where he will celebrate. All of heaven will celebrate your return into the fold and into knowing Jesus again. So that also gives me the idea that there is always hope for anybody who turns their back on God. There is always hope. He's always looking for a way to get you back and to get you to live with him as a main focus in your life. Because it's so difficult not to do anything wrong. But sometimes we choose to do some things wrong. And even when we're at that point, Jesus doesn't just say, oh, well, that's fine. You can go along your way. He still tries to find a way to get you back into the family of God. And that is so important. Now, the people that were listening were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they used to say that, you know, if you did not obey the laws, and if you didn't obey all of the laws, then there was no chance of you getting to heaven. And sometimes they would use the fact that they had to stay clean by not touching people that were ill. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, when one of the priests walked by the Samaritan and he was going to the temple to pray. And because he had a job in the temple, he thought, oh no, I can't stop and look after this man who was injured, because that's going to take my time and make me late for my duties. And also it'll make me impure. I will have to go and purify and go through ceremonial cleansing before he's able to go into the temple. So he was putting his duties above this helping this hurt man. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees used to sort of say things like that, oh, they can't help people that are really, really poor because their positions in church are so much more important. And we know that Jesus said that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. We should love other people and put them first, even before ourselves. There's another song that talks about joy, and it says that joy stands for Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between, which is the J-O-Y. So Jesus is first, you put yourself last as the Y, and then others, which begins with an O, in between. So when you're looking at the hierarchy, or like putting things in order of what is most important, Jesus is most important, then others come next, and we should put ourselves and our wants, our desires, as the last thing, because we know that Jesus is going to look after us. It's not that what we want is not important. It's just that we're trusting that if we're busy looking after somebody else, then Jesus will look after us. So that is a parable of the lost sheep. These sheep are people that have either been in church, or they've stepped out of church, or they've never been in church, but God still looks out for them, and God still wants them to come back into the family. And he will do everything he can. And when he does, it doesn't take a lot for heaven to rejoice. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who comes back, who repents and turns their life around and starts following God again. Then there will be great joy. It doesn't take, they don't wait for like 10 people. As soon as one person gives their lives to Christ and says, yes, I want to be a child of God, I want to follow along with God's intentions and do God's work on this earth and do the right thing, then heaven will break out in great joy, and they'll bring out the streamers, bring out the balloons, and start celebrating and have a party to celebrate that that person has made the right decision in following Jesus. Then we have another very short parable, which is one about a lost coin. It follows on just after this parable. So it's Luke chapter 15 again, and it's verse 8 to 10. And it says, Jesus told the people another story. What will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Won't she light a lamp, sweep the floor, and look carefully until she finds it? Then she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, let's celebrate. I found the coin I lost. Jesus says, in the same way, God's angels are happy when even one person turns to him. Right, so in the story, if we look at the context, if we look at what was happening at that time, women were not always given lots of money. So this woman having these coins and them being so precious to her, it's not just like the money you put in your wallet. These might have been special coins, because women didn't go to do a lot of the shopping, so they didn't have money in that day. They were not given money to keep or to hold on to. Usually it was the husband or the father of that house who went to do a lot of the bargaining in the market. So this woman and these coins would have been something a little more precious than that. It doesn't say that this woman was a widow, so she would either have her father or her husband as the head of that house. And these coins would have had to be slightly special coins. Maybe something she would have got in celebration of something, maybe like a birthday. Or maybe at the time when women got married, they would have been given special coins. So they were not coins that she would spend. It is more like jewelry or special coins that marked a special time in her life. So these coins were very, very precious, and they had sentimental value. It means that she treasured them. These were not coins to spend. Otherwise, the story wouldn't make sense, because when she finds one coin, let's say it's a pound, and then she calls her friends and says, let's celebrate, and has a 15-pound party, that wouldn't make sense, because then she would have spent more money in the party than she had actually found. But these coins were very, very important to this woman. And so losing one would have made her very sad. So this is similar to like finding something that you treasure, something that you really think is very, very important. And again, it highlights the fact that one individual is very precious to God. And he uses all that he can to find the one person that he's lost, the one person who is not following him, the one person is precious to God. Because here it says that she lights a lamp, because these houses didn't always have big windows. So there wasn't a lot of light coming in. But even the lamps were either like candles, or they had gasoline lamps. So, you know, lighting one would use up money. So you didn't always light a candle or light a lamp very often. You only did it when you needed to. So her lighting a candle is using up a lot of money to look for this one coin. And she sweeps the floor and she looks carefully until she finds this coin. And then when she does, it's a big celebration moment for her. She wants other people to come and celebrate with her and to rejoice with her, because finding this coin is so important. And Jesus likens it to when an angel, how the angels behave when a person turns to God, and a person who was lost going in one direction turns around and decides to follow Jesus and decides to trust in him and to stop sinning and stop doing bad things and to make the right choice in behaving well. And this is the same way that Jesus looks for us when we are lost in the world. He rejoices over us, and he puts so much effort into looking for us. Imagine that. I mean, there's so many people in the world, and yet one person is that important to God, and he wants us to keep following him. And when we don't, he will be looking for us and trying to talk to us and trying to show us that following him is the right thing to do. So this is how important people are to God. And it's not just that he wants the whole church filled, but he wants it filled with you. He wants you to be his friend. He wants you to give your life to him and let him help you to make the best decisions for your life. And we should tell other people how important God thinks they are as individuals, that he knows each person's name and he cares about that person. So as I said, the song that I'm recommending, it's also on the website. It's called I Want to Be a Sheep. And why should we try to be sheep? Sheep very easily follow. They follow instructions. They follow the people around them, which is why when we are Christians, it's important that we surround ourselves with people that think like us. It's great when we have people that understand about going to church, understand about reading our Bible and being good and being nice to other people and following God's laws. If our friends don't understand that, then they could lead us in the wrong way. So we should surround ourselves with people that we can follow their good examples, and we can also talk about God to them. So I think that is all we can learn from these two parables. I hope you enjoyed that. Before we go, let us pray. Lord, I just thank you that it is coming up close to the time of celebrating the birth of your son, Jesus. I pray that we make some great, great decisions about Christmas. And even if we don't get to see family or friends, help us to still mark this time and celebrate it, and celebrate the fact that your son Jesus came to earth to save us and to help us lead an exciting and great life. Help us all as we continue going to school or staying at home to be safe, and help us to make the right choices and to decide to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope you stay well, and do get in touch with the church office
if you want to get in touch with me or if there is any problem that I can help you with. God bless you. Bye.